morning. This is the House Special Committee on Fisheries. We will come to order at 11:02 on Tuesday, February 20th. Members present, Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Christ Tompkins, and myself, Chair Stutz. We do have a quorum. I'm going to remind you to please silence your cell phones. We are allowing the use of electronic devices during committee meetings, however. We are asking that staff and members of the audience not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of Graham Judson over here, who is filling in for Matt today, and he will take care of you today. I'd like to thank Brian Glynn, the Fisheries Committee Secretary, from the Juneau LIL, and Eileen Keim for her technical teleconferencing support. Today the committee will be hearing House Bill 260, Fishing Game Licenses, electronic form, sponsored by Representative Dan Sadler, and taking public testimony on House Bill 188, Commercial Fishery Entry Permit Loan Trusts. Up first, we have House Bill 260, and we have Representative Sadler and his staff, Kim Skipper, here for the presentation. So, Kim, if you would like to join us at the table as well, and put yourselves on record and begin your presentation. And I will note, let's see, we have online Bruce Dale from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and Major Bernard Chastain from the Alaska Wildlife Troopers Department. And we have Morgan Foss, our legislative liaison from the Department of Fish and Game, Carol Petreborg from the Department of Fish and Game Administrative Services. Is Allison here? I don't see Allison. So I guess that about does it. So, if you would like to put yourself on record and begin with your presentation, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman and members of the Fisheries Committee. My name for the record is Representative Dan Sadler, House District 13, Chugiak Eagle River, Jay Bear. And I thank you for inviting Kim to the table. She wasn't going to come unless the chairman told her to, so that's great. Madam Chairman, I want to offer for introduction of the record, Historical Exhibit 1. This is my fishing license. My hope is that with passage of House Bill 260, we can trade flimsy paper for eternal and reliable digital. But smartphones, Madam Chair, have become an indispensable part of modern life in Alaska, as everywhere in the country. They give us inexpensive, convenient access to reliable information services, including communications, navigation, where am I, scheduling, I'm supposed to be in fisheries right now, research, what bill is up, photography, and entertainment. There's almost no aspect of our life in Alaska that is not made better and easier by the use of smartphones. This bill, House Bill 260, seeks to leverage this modern communication technology to enhance the timeless traditional pleasures of Alaskan outdoor recreation, hunting, fishing, trapping, by letting us display our licenses for these activities on digital devices in addition to the paper form. State law currently requires outdoorsmen and women to carry the paper licenses while enjoying these outdoor recreational activities. But as anyone who's ever fallen into the stream while landing that big fish or sat in a duck blind getting soaked, paper licenses can be damaged at the worst possible time. And while a person might lose their wallet, I've never lost my smartphone. It's almost always with me. So Alaskans since 2013 have been authorized to carry proof of their car insurance on digital devices, and so this is not new in state law. The benefits of extending that capability to outdoor recreational licenses are manifest. I believe they would make it easier and more convenient for hunters and fishers and trappers to obtain and carry their licenses. It would entice new people to engage in these activities by lowering the barrier to entry. I think it would help enhance Alaska's already great reputation as a tourist destination by lowering the barrier for entry to tourists. You know, you get off the ship, you want to get a quick license, it might be easy to go online and get that license and go engage in non-resident fishing for the day. I think it would improve compliance with state fish and wildlife regulations by making sure that there would be no excuse that a person fishing or hunting or trapping would not have access to this, even though they might not be able to have access to this. There's the possibility for saving money for the state by saving printing supplies and costs of printing and possibly for the kiosks and so forth to print these things. I'll leave that to the department to explain. But there are advantages. And Madam Chair, this is but a first step in the digital revolution as it applies to hunting and fishing licenses. It kind of lays the foundation for smartphone-based applications that will, I hope, eventually let the Fish and Game Department deliver timely information to outdoorsmen about what regulations are in effect in their particular area, what hazards there might be, if there's special openers, changes to local regulations. And on the other end, might allow fishers and hunters to provide real-time information on when they catch a fish, when they catch a king, how many reds they get, so forth. That must wait for a little bit more technological advance before that happens. But even without that, the advantages of having digital licenses, I think, are sufficient to warrant a consideration passage of this bill. I appreciate your time to introduce this bill, ask for your support, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have, any I can't answer or Kim Skipper can answer. We've got some good folks in the Department of Fish and Game and Public Safety available to help us as well. Thank you very much.
Great. And along that line, we have Tom Brookover, the Director of Sports Division Fish and Game, on the line as well. Do we have any questions? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Great bill, Madam Chair, and the sponsor, although maybe that's a bit, I guess the co-sponsor list speaks for itself. I wanted to note it seems like there are a lot of parallels, and I'm reminded when seeing this bill upon introduction of legislation we passed, 3 or 4 years ago, relating to being able to give proof of driver's insurance when pulled over in electronic form, which is now how I operate. In one or two purely innocent encounters with law enforcement, have had the opportunity to do that, and it was easy and convenient, and I haven't heard any negatives of that legislation passing. This seems really and seems really consistent with the new digital society we all live in.
To that point, Madam Chair?
Absolutely.
One of the few questions that has arisen through the Chair, Representative Christ-Tompkins, is the liability for a law enforcement officer who would want to see your car insurance. Right now, there's liability in state law that says another legislation currently before the legislature, that says if you hold your sign, your machine, and kind of show the license to the cop, you're fine. If they ask to take it and do it themselves, and they drop it and break it, the police officer is not liable for that. So it's up to the individual to decide if they want to hand over physical possession of the digital device or if they just want to show it.
I think this is a great bill, and I think it's a first step to on the way to doing the same thing for commercial fishing licenses as well, which would really be an advantage. So I think this is really super duper. Are there any other comments or questions from this committee for either the sponsor or any individual here online? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I like the bill, and I just appreciate that it's may possess an electronic form rather than a requirement, because unfortunately I still represent a lot of people who don't have, you know, the means to afford a cell phone or a smartphone. So I appreciate that will give the flexibility so people still have the option.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it. And we will set this bill aside until a further date, and we will we'll move on to our next bill, but we'll let you know when we're going to bring it back up. It's a great bill. Thank you for presenting here at Fisheries. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. Fisheries back on record. Reed, if you'd step forward, thank you, and put yourself on the record. And we're going to introduce a CS, but it didn't arrive on time, so I guess we're not going to arrive. Introduce the CS for House Bill 188. But before we take public testimony, I would ask that the sponsor or you, Reed, as his staff, come up with a kind of an overview of what the CS is going to change, or the changes made in the CS.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can speak really briefly. In a late-breaking development, we received the CS at 10:49 a.m. from legal, but of course wanted to have the opportunity to read through it first before blindly putting it on the record. So we'll be sure to distribute that to you, Madam Chair, and the committee and other stakeholders as soon as we read through and make sure that there aren't any drafting mishaps. But in terms of the conceptual changes that are contained in the CS, no fundamental or structural changes, but a number of sort of smaller, more technical-oriented improvements, and I'll defer to Mr. Magdans on my staff to speak to those.
If you would place yourself on the record, please, and go forward.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Stutes. Reed Magdans for the record, staff to Representative Kreis Tompkins. Be happy to kind of walk through at a conceptual, if not line-by-line level, the changes we requested from legal, and like Rep. Kreis Tompkins said, should be in our, is in our inbox and hopefully are in the bill. The high level, most of these changes were made in response to comments made in the first two hearings by this committee a couple weeks ago, or in response to comments we received from relevant agencies or the fishing industry. Starting at the top, there were a couple sections in the bill that still referred to even though we removed this requirement that someone be an Alaska resident to access a fishing permit because of constitutional concerns and fairness to everybody, there were still some other sections in the bill that referred to the purposes of fisheries trusts being to help Alaskans and to help communities in the state. Those were flagged for us by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission commissioners, so the CS removes those references and makes the bill less likely to come under constitutional challenge. Another change that we've requested is in response to, I think, some questions you, Chair Stutes, were asking in one of the earlier committees about emergency transfers of fisheries trust permits. We've requested that under the new draft, a fisheries trust will play a role in vetting candidates for emergency transfers of fisheries trust permits, and that those emergency transferees have to be qualified the same way any other person fishing a fisheries trust permit would have to be. There was language in prior versions allowing the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to conduct audits of fisheries trusts. Department has told us that that would be kind of outside the realm of that division's responsibilities, so the next draft removes that audit requirement, or that audit option, I should say, and fisheries trusts would still be subject to special audits by legislative budget and audit, but there would not be an expectation that the Department of Commerce conduct an annual audit of a fisheries trust. It was also pointed out to us that the sections about describing what types of permits a fisheries trust could hold left a slight loophole where it was possible that, a fishery that crossed fisheries trust boundaries, say the administrative area for that fishery was extremely large, that more than one fisheries trust could perhaps be eligible to hold that permit. The new CS closes that loophole and makes clear that only one fisheries trust is eligible to hold any particular type of permit. We also heard concerns by some in the fishing industry about what we call the proportionality rule in the prior versions of the bill, which required a fisheries trust to hold a set of permits that kind of was quantitatively proportional to the distribution of those permits within its region. There was concerns that that would perhaps force a fisheries trust to try to acquire permits in fisheries that the fisheries trust was that were kind of less suited for new entrants, less suited for the purposes of the fisheries trust. So the new CS addresses that issue. The CFEC commissioners also flagged a section in 1644.060D where the word leasing was left out of a list of prohibitions on temporarily transferred permits. The new CS will put leasing back into that language. And that will make that list of prohibitions consistent with the list of prohibitions in the existing limited entry law, and that's leased, pledged, mortgaged, and encumbered. Basically says permits can't be used as security for loans or security for credit. Next change, the new CS clarifies that the six-year cap is the six-year cap on an individual's ability to access a fisheries trust permit is cumulative. That 6 years, no matter what fisheries trust you're going to, no matter what fishery you're fishing in prior versions, it wasn't as clear whether that was a per 6 years for each type of permit or 6 years total. We want it to be 6 years total. The new CS makes that clear. Also, in response to feedback from fishermen primarily, there's new where we asked for new language in the qualification section that would allow a fisheries trust board to go above and beyond the statutory requirements. And basically this means that before a fisheries trust transferred a permit to someone, they could require that the individual show that they have insurance on their boat, that they have a working boat, that they have a place they can sell their fish when they catch it, and other things that are necessary to safely and successfully prosecute the fishery. We think that's a good addition and are glad it was pointed out. And the last two changes requested have to deal with the boundaries of fisheries trust regions. The prior version stated that fisheries trust regions would be only on land. The new bill clarifies that a fisheries trust region should include both land and state waters. And the last change is that it was pointed out that there are some administrative areas, some CFEC salmon administrative areas that contain only one or very few communities. And it was pointed out that the current bill language may have forced the Department of Commerce to draw a regional fisheries trust that, in fact, was not very regional at all and basically included only one community. So in the new CS, there's clarifying language directing Commerce how to draw those regions such that that situation does not arise.
Thank you. Are there any questions regarding the changes to the bill? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And through the chair. Now, you spoke a moment ago about the six-year limit. And looking at the language here, it's still not readily clear to me that someone couldn't have a permit of 6 years and then apply for another fisheries trust permit, a different fisheries trust, and then do another 6 years. Or in the case of something, do a 6 years and then maybe not have a permit for 6 months and then do another 6 years. And I just wanted to know what the intent was and if you've gotten that from the drafter that sort of thing won't happen, or which of those things do you see would be possible under the current draft?
Yeah. Representative Eastman, through the chair, you're looking at the old version.
I am looking at the old version. You're telling me what's different. I'm trying to get caught up.
Right. So you are accurate in identifying that under the version you're looking at, that it would be possible for someone to, say, get a permit for 6 years from one fisheries trust and go to another one and get a permit for another 6 years. That was never our intention. And so the new bill will clarify that by basically saying an individual can't be a temporary transferee for more than a cumulative period of 6 years.
Follow up. And is that spelled out sort of like, you know, lifetime or something like that?
Representative Eastman, through the chair, like Representative said, we got the CS 10 minutes ago, so I haven't looked at the specific language, but the drafting intention was for it to be a lifetime cap, and that's what we'll be looking for when we read it.
I have a question, and I've heard you speak of the board of these trusts. How many members on this board?
Chair Stutz, the boards are composed of one representative from each incorporated municipality within the fisheries trust region. So incorporated municipality means each community that has a city government, and also each borough government is allowed, nominates people to the governor, and the governor selects one person from each of those communities. That would range from, I think the smaller ones are on the order of 5 to 10. The largest regions in the state would be like 25.
Do you have a, is there a fiscal note for that?
Chair Stutz, there is a fiscal note on the bill in terms of the board members. Any money that went to them would be paid for by receipts generated by the Fisheries Trust.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. With that, we will open it up for public testimony. And we will take testimony from the room first. Here, is there anyone here who would like to testify on House Bill 188, the Fisheries Trust and Loan Bill? Seeing none, I have no one online that would like to testify either. These are from... Ah, here we go. I was on the wrong page on the iPad. Here we go. Okay. We have Mark Carroll in Cordova. Mark, are you there?
Yes, this is Mark Carroll. Can you hear me?
We can. If you'd identify yourself and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Mark Carroll. I'm a self-employed commercial fisherman in Cordova.
And begin with your testimony.
For myself. Okay. Thank you. Chair Stutz, members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to hear my testimony. My name is Mark Carroll. I'm a year-round resident of Cordova and a captain and owner of a Prince William Sound salmon drift gillnet vessel. And I'd like to testify today in strong support of House Bill 188, because I really believe that the Regional Fisheries Trust would be a great tool for helping young Alaskans get into the fishing industry. I've been commercial fishing for over 10 years now, and I've experienced myself just how hard it is to purchase a boat and permit with the extremely high permit costs that we have. And a lot of young people who live in our community and want to be fishermen, they just can't afford to pay for both right away. The boat and nets and gear is a lot of money to pay for already, and then the permit just makes it too much. And so a lot of them end up having to rely on leasing medical transfer permits for the first few years. And this is really risky because the prices of medical transfer permits can change dramatically from one year to the next, and it's never certain that you're going to be able to get one, even if you had one the year before. And so I've seen a lot of friends of mine buy boats and nets, lease a permit for a year or two, and then simply not be able to find one or suddenly not be able to afford one because the price jumped $20,000 and they have to pay that up front and they just don't have the cash to do it. And so a lot of those individuals have ended up having to drop out of the fishery. And I really believe that having a multiple year lease agreements, the way the regional fisheries trusts would really allow young fishermen to plan ahead. You could buy a boat and gear, and you would know that you had up to 6 years of a lease, which would really allow you to plan and save up for making that jump to buy a permit. And I think it would really give a lot of young fishermen the security and the support they need to build up that confidence and their bank accounts to where they're really comfortable to make the jump and buy in. And I think that's a great idea. And so this is why I urge you to support House Bill 188. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Michael Kempnick in Craig. Michael?
Hello. Yes, this is Michael. Can you hear me?
If you would state your name and affiliation for the record and begin with your testimony.
Hey, my name is Michael Kempnick. I live in Craig, Prince Wales Island. I've been a resident of Craig for 34 years. I presently commercial fish, Southeast Drift gillnet permit, long line. I have been the harbor master for the city of Craig in the past for 18-year period. And I would like to say that I strongly support House Bill 188. We are all aware of the significant loss of permits and family-based operations.
Whoopsie. Michael?
Yes?
Oh. Is that the end of your testimony?
No, I'm reading from text here. I'm not the case speaker, so I'm trying to read from the text if that's okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Family-based fisheries businesses have historically been the core of the economic and social well-being of our small rural communities. The loss of these permits and these family operations has been devastating for our families and economies in these communities. While there are many different aspects of our economy in Southeast to support our well-being, the one constant has been our marine environment and commercial fishing. It has been and will continue to be the basis of our economic well-being and for families in Southeast Alaska. I support the effort to re-engage permits into our small rural communities. It is a worthy goal. It will take commitment, and it will be hard to do, but we should not let that dissuade us from making the effort. And lastly, I would just like to close with saying, you know, in my time as harbor master, I've seen talented, knowledgeable, and hardworking young men and women take the leap to establish themselves in commercial fishing, in the commercial fishing industry. Some make it and some don't. Too often, I know that financial constraints have been the reason some of these young people have not been successful. I believe that this effort to try and support young people re-engaging into our industries is a worthy effort. I thank you for the effort and for the opportunity to address the committee.
We appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Next, we'll go to Kim Rietmeyer in Anchorage.
Yes, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
We can. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Madam Chair, Suits, and honorable members of the Fisheries Committee, my name is Kim Rietmeyer. I am an executive director of the ANCSA Regional Association. I am Sukak, a member of the Koniak Regional Corporation and a granddaughter of a commercial fisherman out of Kodiak, Alaska, the prettiest place on the planet. Today, I am calling in to stand together in support of HB 188. I'm the executive director of the ANCSA Regional Association, who represents the 12 CEOs from the 12 Native Regional Corporations. Our collective mission is to promote and foster the continued growth and economic strength of Alaska Native Regional Corporations on behalf of our more than 127,000 shareholders. And those 12 regional corporations stand together today in support of HB 188. So the regional corporations want to see economic development in our communities and economically sustainable villages with jobs available. The 12 regional corporations put in a significant amount of time and energy into creating economic opportunity within their regions. Commercial fishing is an economic driver for these communities, and not to mention a vital cultural heritage. Commercial fishing is obvious a source of jobs for nearby communities with limited cash economies, and we as an Alaskan should really be doing what we can to ensure that these communities near to fisheries have good access to those fisheries. The ANCSA CEOs know their communities and know the fishing histories of those communities. And a lot of those communities that once had thriving, hardworking commercial fishing fleets don't have much anymore. It's because the barriers to entries into those fishing communities, and most importantly, the need for lots of cash or credit get in, are especially high when you come from rural communities. The Fisheries Trust will provide a better opportunity for folks to get into fishing, important because fishing fleets are aging, but they will be especially important tools for these rural communities. Fisheries Trust will complement the extensive economic development efforts for ANCSA corporations. Fisheries Trust can be a self-sustaining economic tool that once set up and capitalized, they can provide economic opportunity without continued corporation or government funding. We support this bill. We look forward to working with Representative Christ Tompkins and moving it forward, and offer any opportunity for questions. Thank you very much for the opportunity today.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony. Rick Wysocki in Dillingham.
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Rick Wysocki. I am a commercial fisherman out here in Dillingham, Alaska. And I would like to speak in support of House Bill 188. I've been fishing commercially since I was 8 years old, and I became a permit holder when I was 12 years old. My family is from this region, and we actually fish on a beach that is about 6 miles across the bay from Dillingham. And every summer there are about 30 boats on our beach. And out of those 30 boats, only 4 of those boats are local. So we have about 85% non-local boat ownership, which is kind of the problem we have out here in the Bay, is that there's just so much ownership of permits from out of the area. And I think this bill really capitalizes on kind of the root of the problem, because there really is an issue with the way permit ownership currently is. People are always talking about how it's a problem, but this is kind of the only real solution that I've come across, or people that you know, that people are actually trying to solve. So I really think this is a really good tool that we could use to help Alaskans. I mean, it's really devastating to see so much outside ownership, because these outside permit holders, they don't even hire local. Their crews are flown in from out of state. They don't buy local. Everything is barged in. And they hardly even pay any local taxes. So I also really like that this opens up a lot of opportunity for the local young fishermen, and I like the economic stability of the 6-year terms, and the 2.5% of, I like the numbers. It kind of fills the needs of, I think, what the local fishermen or possible fishermen are looking for. And it's just a really good tool that we could use to help a problem that is real out here. And I'd like to see House Bill 188 be advanced for more discussion. So, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony. I see no one else online. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify on House Bill 188? Seeing no others, I want to thank everyone for their time and their testimony, and we will leave public testimony open for the next hearing to accommodate anyone who still wishes to testify on 188. Our next meeting for the House Fisheries will be on Thursday, February 22nd. We will be hearing House Bill 231, the CFEC bill, and it pertains to the taking non-classified employees and making them classified, and to the commissioners. And it is sponsored by the governor, and the presentation will be by Dr. Bradley Moran, D. Dean, the College of, and a presentation by Dr. Bradley Moran, Dean of the College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So, are there any further questions or comments from this committee? Seeing none, we will adjourn at 11:36.